Keep looked like he was about to intervene, but I just waved him away. It's cool. Just my dad and my... Ryan. Wait. Not that he's my Ryan or anything. He's just his own Ryan. Nobody else's. Except for maybe the prince. Yes. That is the prince's Ryan and my dad and everything is cool. Everything was not cool. My dad was furious. And drunk. Ryan looked resigned to whatever fate my father would bestow upon him. I was sure this would end in bloodshed, one way or another. So imagine my surprise when instead of kicking Ryan's ass, my father pulled up another stool, sat Ryan down between us, and ordered him one of the regional beers on tap. All in the space of about 5 seconds. I don't even question things anymore, I said.
Good, my dad said. It'll make things easier.
He turned his glare back at Ryan.
Now you will sit here. You will drink this beer, and you will be happy about it.
Ryan drank his beer without question.
Now, my father said, what are you doing here?
Besides following me, I said. I'm not following you, he said weakly. Uh-huh, I'm not. So you just happen to be in the same place that I am. Again.
Maybe you're following me.
Yeah, because I have so many reasons to want to see your stupid face.
Oh, please. You think my face is delicious.
Children!
Dad barked at both of us. We were sufficiently cowed.
Ryan, you will tell me why you're here, he said. Sam, you will let him speak, and then when he's finished, you may resume your back and forth that is supposed to be snarky banter, but is in actuality snarky foreplay.
Dad!
More stout, please,
my father said to the barkeep.
I'm going to need it with these two idiots.
No more for him, I said. He's cut off.
You're cut off,
Dad said as the barkeep filled his mug.
You guys are so related, Ryan said.
Shut up, I said. We are not. Then, wait, yes we are, but shut up.
Are you drunk?
He asked, sounding amused.
No,
I was. I'm not at all. I was pleasantly buzzed. Sober as a kitten.
Sometimes, my dad said, you don't make sense when you speak, but that's okay because I love you anyway.
I said, I make sense and I love you too.
Regional beers are awesome beers,
he said, taking another drink.
No, Ryan, speak.
He's not a dog, I grumbled. Mostly.
It's my bachelor party, Ryan said. Next door at the hotel.
Oh, Dad said. And how is that working out for you?
Okay, I guess, he said, looking down at his hands. I had to get out of there for a bit.
Uh-huh.
I was annoyed, and I couldn't quite figure out why. Why wasn't I invited? I said, sounding sufficiently outraged. Ryan snapped his gaze up to mine.
Would you have even gone?
Well, no, but still. Semantics.
And rude.
I wanted to invite you,
Ryan said, but I chickened out. It's mostly just knights, some army buddies. I didn't know what that was, so I decided on weird.
You make me weird, he grumbled.
Were there strippers?
Dad asked sympathetically.
Strippers also make things weird.
My dad is a lightweight, I explained.
This much is true, Dad said.
So, Ryan said, pretty much like you then.
I thought I saw the hint of a smile. I rolled my eyes at him. No, I can handle my booze.
I've seen you handle your booze. That's not handling.
No reminiscing, I warned him. That'll just make me leave faster. That almost smile disappeared. He looked away again.
Yeah,
he said quietly.
Okay. Both of you shut up,
my dad said.
Because I'm about to lay some truth on you.
This is probably going to be awkward, I told Ryan.
I'm used to your family's awkwardness,
he said, and his knee touched mine, briefly.
So much for foreplay,
my dad grumbled.
Okay, Truth time. You ready?
Bring it, Pops.
You,
Dad said, pointing at Ryan a little unsteadily,
are a fucking dick.
Whoa,
Ryan said. Dude, I breathed. That's my dad.
And you, Dad said, pointing at me, are pretty damn awesome.
Ha, I said.
But you're also a fucking dick.
Hey!
It's true,
Dad said.
And what do you get when you put two fucking dicks together?
I don't know if I like where this is going, I said.
Absolutely nothing. Because you're choosing to be fucking dicks instead of fucking each other's dicks.
Dude, I said. What? He is so your father, Ryan said, sounding rather odd.
Truth time, boys,
Dad said.
Life is all about chances. It's about these little moments that add up to greatness. And there are times when you have to grab greatness by the balls and say, hey, greatness, I've got your nuts, and you can't do a single goddamn thing about it.
This is going in a direction I did not expect, I said.
I am mercurial, Dad said.
Ooh, I said. Word porn.
You're being stupid, Dad said to Ryan. So fucking stupid. You have the chance, the little moments, the greatness. You just need to grab some balls and never let go.
I don't know quite what you're telling me to do, Ryan admitted. I don't think anyone does, I said.
You'll figure it out, Dad said. Now, my son is going to take me home so my wife can yell at me for getting drunk and pretend to fight off my advances, even though we both know that old people's sex is awesome sex.
God. So many lines have been crossed, I groaned. Do you guys need help, or... Ryan looked unsure. I shook my head. Go back to your party. I'm sure they're missing you. I didn't look at him again before I grabbed my father and fled. When we got to the street, I put my arm around my father's waist and said, that hangover you're going to have tomorrow? Penance, my friend. Pure, magnificent penance. And I shall be there with bells on. Literal bells. My dad just laughed and laughed. 2 days before the wedding, I stood in the throne room, watching as the king regally posed next to a stained glass window. I had the easel set up a few feet away from him as I studied him closely, wanting to make sure I got his likeness just right. Oops, I said.
Oops,
the king said.
What oops?
Okay, so how would you feel if you looked like you had boobs?
Is that a hypothetical question?
Hypothetically, no. More like, that's what I painted somehow and will now be part of the finished product because I don't know how to fix it, nor do I want to.
Am I busty?
Very. You also have three of them.
Good. Proceed.
Excellent, I said, putting more puce on the canvas, because if there was one thing the world needed more of, it was puce. I am such a good painter.
Well,
the king said,
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You should hire me to do all the royal paintings.
I could never ask of you such a thing, for all our sakes.
I should teach others how to paint.
The arts would weep at such a thought.
Oops, I said.
Oops.
So, hypothetically. Okay, that was a lie. It's not hypothetical. I painted you to be as big as the Great White, and you're destroying Meridian City like a giant monster. My muse is obviously a surrealist, and I must follow her into the artistic abyss.
Am I breathing fire?
My eyes widened. You could be. I have so much puce.
Make it so.
He let me focus for a while. The sounds of the castle bright and loud around us. The throne room looked immaculate. Banners hung and chandeliers polished. Many had thought the wedding would happen in the church, but apparently Ryan had refused, saying he didn't follow any specific religion. I didn't know what, if any, arguments had come from that, but it didn't matter in the long run. One, I didn't care, mostly. And two, the king had agreed to host the wedding in the throne room, followed by the biggest ball of the season. It would be a magical day for all those involved. And unfortunately, I was a part of that magic. I didn't have to do much. My job was to stand up in front and look pretty next to Morrigan and keep my mouth shut. The king would speak, and Randall would speak, and then the ceremony would happen and everyone would live happily ever after. I might have put far more puce than was actually necessary. The king must have seen my artistic outlet for what it was and asked,
"Are you okay, Sam?"
"Of course," I said.
"I've known you a long time."
"You have," I agreed.
"I know you very well, better than most."
"You do."
"I'm glad you agree. So then maybe you can also agree that I can tell when you're lying?"
"Drama, King," I muttered. He turned to look at me.
"Stop moving," I snapped at him. "You'll ruin the painting and no one will forgive you because this is a masterpiece that will be treasured for generations."
"Normally, I would only feel the need to encourage any pursuit you feel is necessary," he said. "I don't know that art is one of them."
"You say that only because you haven't seen this yet."
"How many breasts do I have in your painting?"
"3.
"And how many do I have in real life?"
"What? You don't have any."
"Oh, I see what you did there. It's called artistic license."
"Sam?"
"I'm fine."
"You're not. And it's okay not to be."
"Thanks. I wouldn't have known that otherwise." I winced. "Sorry, that came out wrong." His lips twitched.
"You could be pooping in buckets for taking that tone with me."
"Yeah, yeah. You're the mighty king and all that."
"I could even have your head."
"Sure, because that's a thing you do."
"Could see a return of it? A good old-fashioned beheading in the courtyard?"
"My blood would cause a revolution." He smiled, looking far less regal and all the more awesome.
"Of that, I have no doubt."
He watched me and waited. He knew me very well. I sighed. "I'm fine. Or I will be."
"Will you?"
I put down the paintbrush. "I will. Because there's no other alternative."
"There is," he said. "You can be not fine. That is something you're allowed to do."
"Is it?"
"Yes."
I took a step around the easel so he wouldn't come toward me and be able to see the work in progress that would be hailed for centuries as a modern marvel. He watched me approach with curious eyes. He was smart, my king. I have to be.
"Why?"
"Because if I'm not, I'm of no use to anyone. And if I'm of no use to anyone, then I might as well be back in the slums." He shook his head.
"Sam, how can you possibly think it's not okay? For you do not be okay."
"Because I'm Sam of Wilds," I said, though it was beginning to sound like an excuse. "I'm always okay." He stepped down from the platform where he'd been posing for me. His hands came down onto my shoulders and gripped me tight. He said,
"You're Sam of Wilds, but you're also human."
"I know."
"You don't have to have the answers to everything."
"I know."
"Do you?"
I rolled my eyes.
"I worry about you sometimes," he admitted.
"Why?"
"Because you've built up this shell around yourself. This exterior made up of sass and wordplay. You wear your heart on your sleeve. But you've disguised it so that only those that are close to you can ever hope of seeing it. You show so much without actually showing anything at all."
I swallowed past the lump in my throat. "That's your expert opinion, doctor?" I asked, cringing as soon as the words left my lips.
"Sam,"
he admonished lightly. "Sorry," I muttered, looking away.
"I would fix this for you if I could."
"Would you? Because that would be at the expense of your son." He looked troubled at this. He appeared to choose his next words carefully.
"I don't know that Justin is in this for the same reason you are."
"I'm not in anything. That much has been made clear." I almost told him about what Justin had said at the Dragon's Keep, about feeling he was trapped in the shadow of his father and myself, that he'd felt forced to make a decision. But it wasn't my place. I could not speak for the prince. Whatever issues there were between them were just that. Between them. Not me. The king had already told me he could do nothing to break the oath Ryan had sworn to Justin. Much like no one else could break the oath that Ryan had to the king. I really fucking hated oaths. The king said,
I don't...
Did you paint this? An incredulous voice asked from behind us. I turned and looked over my shoulder. Ryan stood in front of the easel, looking horrifyingly amused as he studied my painting. I hadn't seen him since the night of his bachelor party a few days before. His hair had been cut in advance of the wedding, looking more regal and coiffed, versus his usual floppy mane. He still appeared exhausted, but he was biting his bottom lip, and I realized he was trying not to laugh. I narrowed my eyes at him because the last time I checked, he was not an art critic. Yes, I said, it's a work in progress. You can't judge it until it's completed. Oh, he said, I'm not judging. Hello, I have eyes and I can see your face. You are so judging. No, no, he said innocently, eyes wide. I would never think to judge something of this caliber. There's a lot of red. It's called puce, I said. Because that makes it better. Don't be jealous of my talent. It's unbecoming of you. He looked up at me, unable to hold back the smile any longer. I don't know that jealous is the right word. Horrified, maybe. Horrified, I said with a scowl. There's nothing horrifying about it. You gave the king breasts? He said. Three of them? Yes, well, it's commentary on the state of postmodern feminism. Uh-huh. And the chest hair he still seems to have. He's very manly. I look back at the king, who is gazing back and forth between Ryan and me, with a thoughtful look on his face. You're very manly, I told him.
Thank you, the king said. I don't know if I want to see the painting.
Traitorous lies, I said.
So he's a manly feminist?
Ryan asked. That's a thing, I insisted. Everyone knows that's a thing.
I don't think that's a thing, the king said.
You don't get to have an opinion, I told him. You're just a king of an entire country who has an infinite amount of responsibility and a wealth of knowledge far beyond my own and are pretty awesome.
You wouldn't know anything about it. How I treasure you, the king said, smiling quietly at me.
The feeling is mostly mutual, I said, art appreciation notwithstanding.
Is he toppling Meridian City?
Ryan asked, still studying the painting, while shooting fire from his mouth. It's me taking a strong standpoint against consumerism, I said.
You're pro-feminist and anti-establishment.
Exactly.
By having the king being a three-breasted monster shooting fire.
See, when you say it like that, it makes me start to regret my life choices. He didn't stop the laughter that time. The smile now as wide as I'd ever seen it. That's the thing that causes you to regret your life choices. Nothing else. That. And it hit me then how close this was to being like things once were. When I could harbor my secret love and my secret heart and banter back and forth for hours on end. My magic was an underlying current that was saying, yes, 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 and more, 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 more. It felt good. It felt right. I felt whole. And I couldn't have it. It's why the avoidance had been key. But somehow Ryan had wormed his way back in. And gods, how I loved him for it. How I hated him for it. I said, opinions aside, you've encroached upon a private discussion. Perhaps you should find someone else to bide your time with until your nuptials instead of wasting mine. It was as if I'd slapped him. There was shock on his face, then pain, then anger. Whether at me or himself or the situation, I didn't know. I told myself it didn't matter. I had to do what I had to do to protect my head and heart. And if it meant being crueler than I ever thought I could be to Ryan Foxhart, then so be it. He took a step back. I turned away from him in what was obviously a dismissal. He said, "Sam?" I said nothing. I heard his footsteps echo in the throne room as he fled. The king watched me for a moment. Then,
"I told you something once. On the night of his promotion ceremony."
"You told me many things," I muttered, ashamed of the way I just acted. Ryan deserved it. Maybe. But that didn't mean I needed to act like he did.
"I told you he doesn't smile. Not a real one, anyway. Not one that's not forced or for show."
I remembered that. I remembered because I thought how odd that was, as I'd seen him smiling several times that day alone.
"Until you,"
the king said, sounding as sad as I'd ever heard him.
"I don't know why I didn't see it before. Especially since it was right in front of me. But any time he smiles, any time it's real, it's because of you. He lights up brighter than anything I've ever seen."
"Is that supposed to make me feel better?" I asked, unable to keep the bitterness out of my words.
"No," he said. "I don't suppose it is."
"Fix this." He looked stricken.
"I can't. He made the oath of his own volition. He's a knight. It's what's expected of him."
I nodded once and turned to walk away. Before I got two steps, he said,
"I tried."
I stopped but didn't turn around.
"I tried, Sam."
"I don't understand."
"I asked Justin to release Ryan from his oath."
"Why?" I managed to choke out.
"Because I wasn't lying the day I told you that I thought of you as a son. And my heart breaks for you. Your pain will always be my pain, and it is sharp within me. I wanted something better for you, but I failed. I'm so sorry, Sam."
I spun back around and threw myself at him. His arms came up and he held me close. I couldn't find the words to say how I didn't blame him. I couldn't find the words to say how much I loved him. I couldn't really find any words at all. So I just held him for a very long time and hoped he understood all the things that were not said.
Chapter 28, A Brief Interlude. I glared up at the stars while I lay on the grass in the secret garden. "You're fucking jerks," I told them all. "Seriously, what the hell?" The stars didn't reply. But then, they were stars, so pretty much expected. They still twinkled like assholes, though. "I hope you all blow up. You know what? You probably already are blown up. And it's just taken your life thousands and thousands of years to reach here. So, ha fucking ha. You're dead now. And all I'm seeing are your last gasps." I sighed. "I'm sorry, that was rude." "Because it was. It wasn't their fault Ryan was getting married tomorrow. It was Ryan's fault. And Justin's. I mean, who makes an oath to a prince to honor a dead and cherished mother? Rude. And very sweet and beautiful and lovely and just like the selfless bastard. But also rude." I scowled at the sky. "It's cool," I told the stars. "I'll find someone else, and it'll be awesome, and I'll be all like, 'Ryan who? I've got a new cornerstone. His name is Juan Carlos, and he's an exotic accountant.' Or something. Mental note. Think of better exotic jobs in the future. Like, actuaries. Damn it. Why can't I think of something exotic off the top of my head? Exotic, exotic, exotic. Go! Juan Carlos is going to be an exotic mortician." I groaned. "That doesn't even make sense."
"Who are you talking to?"
I squawked like an indifferently tall man.
Ryan laughed quietly to himself. Dude, I sighed. Seriously, the stalking. He stopped laughing. I wasn't. Not this time. I looked back up toward the stars and cursed them in my head. So you admit to other times? Mostly. You can't mostly stalk someone. You're either all in or not. Ah, well, stalker, I muttered. Not this time, he said. I didn't know you were out here. I snorted. Yeah, okay. I didn't. I just needed... Needed? He sighed. I needed to get away for a little bit. Okay. You don't want to hear this. You're right, I don't. The silence that followed was awkward. Him standing above me while I refused to look at him was awkward. Everything about this was awkward. Of course, I couldn't keep that to myself. You're awkward. This is awkward. I know. It's like you're my ex that I've seen for the first time since we had our really bad breakup. Is that what it's like? Sure, I said. But it sucks because it's like we're exes without having any of the benefits of not having been something before we were exes.
Benefits?
You know, I said, butt sex. He choked. Or other things, I said quickly. Because it's not all about butt sex.
Thank the gods it's just not all about butt sex.
He said faintly. But you see what I mean? Awkward, but no benefits of having gotten there.
I suppose that's my fault.
I laughed. Ha-ha. Yes, I suppose it is.
I don't expect you to understand.
I don't, I said. And I don't care to anymore. I'm done fighting. Aren't you done fighting? He didn't answer. I'm done fighting, I said again. Fighting you, fighting for you, fighting against you, I'm done. It makes things easier.
What things?
He asked quietly. I raised my arm and waved my hand toward the stars. This. These things. Everything.
That's all-encompassing, as usual.
Like a tornado.
Sure. Are you drunk? Not this time. Maybe tomorrow night. No offense, but Gary, Tiggy, and I will probably get drunk and besmirch your name a little bit. He took a step toward me. I refused to look at him, but I could still see him in the periphery.
Besmirch, huh?
So much besmirching, I said. You don't even know how besmirched you'll be.
I think I have an idea,
he said. I traveled with you for 3 weeks. I'll probably get a tad vicious. He took another step. Like he was aiming for subtlety, nonchalance. He was failing miserably. And it was getting dangerously close to reminiscing again. That wouldn't bode well for my plan of not caring. Nothing ruins not caring like willful and fond reminiscing. I hoped he hadn't capitalized the plan in his head yet. Eh, I said. I won't let it get too bad. Maybe some choice curse words here and there, but nothing too bad. I won't hex you or anything.
Could you do that?
Probably. I don't really know what I'm capable of anymore.
Lightning,
he said, and took another step. I sighed. Yeah, I've been through worse. Randall just likes to try and get a rise out of me.
It looked like he was trying to kill you.
Nah. He knows I'd come back and haunt his ass. He wouldn't dare.
What did it feel like?
I was starting to get irritated. God, sit down if you're going to stay here. Stop hovering. You're making it worse.
You aren't going to run?
He asked, a light tease. And I had to remind myself that I didn't care. You're the one that's been running lately, I said. That shut him up right quick. He sat down next to me, carefully maintaining a slight distance, like I was a cornered, skittish animal. He huffed out a breath, then lay down on his back, looking up through the thin canopy of trees above. And because I was probably a masochist, I asked, "You ready for tomorrow?" I felt his eyes on me as he turned his head in my direction.
Are you serious?
What, I can't ask questions?
I don't know.
You don't seem to know a lot of things. He groaned and rubbed a hand over his face.
God, you confuse me.
Oh, dear. You infuriate me. My bad. My bad. Yes, Sam, he snapped. I'm ready for tomorrow. Sounds like it. You're a dick. I laughed. I know. If you like, I can go back to pretending you don't exist. Would that be easier? For who? He didn't answer. Instead, he said, did you ever think you'd get here? Where? Here. Where you are now. Back in the slums? I always figured I'd stay there. I'd work there. That I would die there. That's sad. And yet that's how it is for most people born there. I don't know, I said. Maybe. I spent a lot of time thinking of ways to get us out of there. Wishing for something to happen. I never thought I'd... Well, I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but no, I never expected this. To be here. Where I am. His arm brushed against mine, whether by accident or not, I couldn't tell. But I had learned very quickly that very little happened by accident when it concerned Ryan Foxhart. I never hoped, he said. I never wished. I never dreamed. Not until you. Ryan, listen. Please, can you just listen? I already know what you're going to do. I can recognize the tone in your voice. I don't need you to justify anything to me. I don't want you to. I'm not trying to justify anything. Then what are you trying to do? Have a conversation, he said, pouting slightly. I refused to find it adorable. No, I said. You're trying to explain yourself. Why you pledged your oath to Justin. You did it for your mother. You did it because you got out and she didn't. You did it for her because you thought that's what she wanted for you and you could never go back on your word because of how much you loved her. I get it. Ryan, I get it, okay? I know why you're doing what you're doing. I hate it, and I think I sometimes hate you, but I get it. I do. Okay? I promise, I do. If you need my blessing, have at it. It's yours. Do what you have to, because in the end, you'll have to live with yourself. Not me. Not Justin. Just you. By the time I finished speaking, my voice was hoarse and my hands were shaking. I didn't even have the sense to stop him when he reached over and curled his fingers in my own. His grip was tight and warm. He tugged on my hand gently, but insistently. I turned over on my side as he was silently asking me to do, facing him. His position mirrored mine. His eyes searched my own. He opened his mouth once, then closed it. Then, I meant what I said. When? When I told you that the only thing I wished for was you. You bastard, I whispered. He took our joined hands and brought them to his face. I felt the brush of his lips against my skin, and I fought against jerking my hand away. Do you want to know what it felt like? What? The lightning. I don't. It hurt. At first. It wasn't like the first time when we were running from the darks and the fire geckos. It was so easy then. So easy to take it in, wrap it around my heart, and then send it away. I didn't understand why I couldn't do it again. Why it wasn't working. His face was so close to mine. I could feel his breath on my skin. And then something was different. Morgan and Randall knew why. I didn't. Maybe I should have. I just felt it. In my bones. In my blood. It whispered to me. And said that everything was going to be all right. That I could do this. That I could do what they were asking of me. And then Randall gave me more than he should have. Far more than I should have been capable of handling. But it didn't matter because the moment it touched my skin, I knew it was different. That I was different. I knew I could do this. I knew what I was capable of. I took it in and it wrapped itself around my heart. And it was scary and devastating and wonderful all at the same time. It felt of power and strength, and I could have kept it there. No matter how much it hurt, I could have kept it there for myself. But it wasn't mine to keep. It wasn't mine to hold. So I let it go. I let it go, and I didn't understand why it felt so familiar. The electricity crawling along my heart. I didn't understand at first, but I do now. What is it? He whispered. It's you. I said, not able to look away. It's how I feel when I'm with you. How I think I've always felt. You're my lightning-struck heart. It doesn't matter about the cornerstone. It doesn't matter about who I am or who you are. Not to me. I think it would have always been this way for me, even if we never escaped the slums. Ever since the beginning. Ever since I've known you, you struck my heart. And now I have to let you go because you're not mine to keep. I need someone that I can be strong for. But I need someone who can also be strong for me. Sam, he croaked out, his eyes bright and wet. And I'd said enough. I'd had enough. Much like Randall's lightning had arced along my heart, Ryan did the same. The only way forward was to expel him from me because he wasn't mine to keep. And because I would never get another chance. I brought his hand to mine, brushing a kiss against his knuckles. I said, I think I love you. I let him go. I pushed myself up. I looked up at the stars, but I did not make a wish. And then I left him there in my mother's secret garden.
Chapter 29, The Lightning Struck Heart. Well, Gary said, as he posed in front of the floor-length mirror in my room, today should be a fuck-ton of shits and giggles.
That was sarcasm,
Dad explained to Tiki. Tiki still hadn't quite got the hang of sarcasm yet, even though Gary had made it his singular mission.
Got it,
Tiki said, frowning in concentration.
Fuck, shit, giggle, sarcasm.
Tell me I look pretty, Gary demanded of Kevin, who was sticking his large head through the window. We were lucky my room was at the back of the castle, so that Kevin could actively participate in discussions of a serious nature, like telling Gary he looked pretty.
You are like the sun and the moon combined to make a creature so astoundingly beautiful that the world can't even contain its...
Oh my gods! I groaned as I lay on my bed. Gary, make him stop! Never, Gary said. This is probably as close as I will ever get to looking like a princess, so I expect to be treated as such. I looked over at him and tried not to laugh, because he would find ways to eviscerate me. Gary had gotten it into his head that his mane and tail needed to be permed for the wedding, and he looked like two gigantic cotton balls were consuming him from either end. They were adorned with dozens of fresh flowers, and his hooves had been painted blue and silver to match the flowers. I wanted to tell him I thought he looked like he should be working for Mama, but I value my testicles, so I kept my mouth shut. Exactly like a princess. Gary narrowed his eyes. I can tell when you're being sarcastic. Sam Haversford, I'll have you know that big hair is in the spring. Everyone has it. Gary, no one in this room has it. I would have big hair, Mom said, but I don't have the lady balls to pull it off. I have lady balls, Gary said. I'm a fierce fucking princess.
You look like you pooping snowmen,
Tiki said. I laughed until I cried, which on a day like today, I sorely needed. Gary glared at me. I laughed harder. It felt so good. So when the knock came at the door, I was as ready as I could ever be. My mother fussed with my dress robes,
brushing off invisible things so she could calm me, and most likely herself. She leaned in and kissed me on the cheek. She whispered, "We get through today, and then we'll move on to the next. I'm so proud of you, my son." I hugged her close. Pete waited for us on the other side of the door. He smiled quietly at me, his armor shining, the decorative sword and scabbard fastened at his side.
"Morgan and Randall are waiting for you in the lobby. The ceremony will begin shortly."
I nodded and let the others out before I followed. I looked back at Kevin. "They've opened the great doors to the gardens," I told him. "There should be more than enough room for you there."
"Should I light something on fire?"
he asked.
"Like Justin? Or the wedding party?"
"No fires," I said. "This wedding is going to go smoothly, and then we'll get drunk, and I'll be sad, and then tomorrow, I'll wake up and start again."
"I am also proud of you, my son,"
he said seriously.
"In addition, your ass looks great today."
And that was something I would never get used to. "Ew. And you're still not my dad," I called out, closing the door behind me. I could hear the thrum of people seated in the throne room. The king's court, the heads of state, dignitaries from across Varenya. At last count, there was to be over 1,000 people attending the wedding of Grand Prince Justin of Varenya to Knight Commander Ryan Foxart. They'd all been seated earlier, waiting for the procession. The king would speak, Randall would speak, and we'd all sit in stifling heat wishing for death. I could hardly wait. I descended the staircase to the lobby and saw my family waiting for me. Morgan looked stately, his robes a deep burgundy, his beard newly trimmed. Randall looked like an ancient pimp, his robes a bright green that I was sure Justin was going to take offense to. He wore a large hat with a wide brim. A purple feather stuck out the top of it. I thought it was awesome.
"About time," Randall grumbled. "You'd think it was his wedding day by the way he was dallying."
"Hello, Randall," I said. "Make sure your women give you your money so you don't have to pimp slap them." Gary snorted. It came out violet and chartreuse, and I thought it paired with the flowers in his mane very well. Only a gay unicorn could match his uniquely visible sarcasm to his floral accessories. Randall narrowed his eyes.
"And what foolishness do you speak of now?"
"Nothing," I said. "Tell me, Randall, what street corners are yours? Because I don't want to overstep my bounds."
"I'm onto you, boy," he said. "You think you're being clever, but I'm onto you."
"Ah," I said sympathetically. "It's hard out there for a..."
"And this is probably indicative of how today is going to go,"
Randall said with a sigh.
"Is it?" Mom asked. "This certainly bodes well for today's events."
"I don't think that's quite what he meant,"
Dad said to her.
"I'm maintaining a positive outlook," she said. "Denial is such a comforting place to be."
"Well," I said to Morgan, "I tried to get drunk first, but some people wouldn't let me." I glared at my parents. "Aunt Iggy. Aunt Gary. You know I'm much more tolerable when I'm intoxicated."
"Wizard spaghetti face,"
Tiggy reminded me. "Okay, that was one time, and Betty and I bonded."
"You call her a sexy grandma."
"You called her a sexy grandma," Gary said. "In my defense, I had a lot of wine."
"And you think that makes you tolerable?"
Randall asked me.
"Canoodling with elderly ladies?"
"Canoodling?" I mouthed at Gary, who just shrugged.
"Maybe we should consider a bit of a re-education of your young apprentice,"
Randall said to Morgan. "Please don't hit me," I said, cowering away from him. "I'll have your money by the end of the week. I promise, Randall. I've always been your best girl."
"I fear it's already far too late,"
Morgan told Randall.
"Rodden, save yourself."
"Sam,"
Randall tried again.
"I know that today is going to be difficult."
I scoffed, cutting him off. "I'm fine." They all stared at me. "What?" "Sam," Mom said, "it's okay to not be fine." Good to know, I said. I'm fine. You all act like I'm going to break down in inconsolable tears or do something stupid like interrupt the service when it gets to the whole speak now or forever hold your peace thing. Well, Gary said, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. They looked slightly guilty, and I suddenly had a very bad feeling. And none of you can say a damn thing either. Yeah, Gary said. Okay, sure. Get right on that, kitten. He batted his eyelashes at me, and I was almost ready to coo at him when I realized he was wiling me with his ways. You foul temptress, I hissed at him. How dare you try to woo me with your powers of beauty? I shall not be tricked. Gary preened. Did you hear that, everyone? Sam says I have powers of beauty. None of you can say a goddamn thing, I said, making sure to glare at each of them in turn. We are not going to ruin someone else's wedding day just because he should be marrying me instead, as I'm obviously way cooler and have good teeth, awesome cheekbones, and a sunny fucking disposition.
His disposition isn't very sunny right now, Gary whispered to Tiggy.
Oxymoron,
Tiggy said.
Well said, Gary replied. He is a moron.
You lucky, you pretty,
Tiggy said, burying his face in Gary's ridiculous mane.
Feel like bubbles on my nose.
Listen to me, I snapped. You all need to keep your mouths shut. There will be no talking. Well, except for Morgan, because I think he's supposed to talk. And Randall, since he's officiating the entire ceremony. They can talk. None of the rest of you can.
I can talk if I want to,
Dad said, looking slightly defiant. I'm serious, I said.
Dear, Mom said, look, he's serious. That's his serious face.
You made that same face since you were 3,
Dad said.
That's how we knew you were serious.
Like the one time he was 6 and came home to tell us he was seriously going to kiss Derek?
Mom said.
Or that other time he was almost 8 and said he was seriously considering opening up a business to sell toast and hats? And wouldn't I like to invest?
Dad said.
Or when he was 10 and he told us that he was seriously upset because we wouldn't let him jump off the roof naked to test the wings he'd made out of a bedsheet. And couldn't we just see how serious he was?
You are a very strange child,
Randall said. I am nothing but a product of my upbringing, I said, frowning at my parents.
Thank you, Mom said, beaming.
And you're welcome,
Dad said. You're lucky I love you, I told them, because otherwise I'd be ordering you to the dungeons for treason for telling the naked roof-jumping bedsheet story.
Pooping in buckets is a small price to pay to be able to tell that story,
Dad assured me.
Especially when I get to tell the part about how you were bare-ass naked when you were trying to argue with us.
If you try that now, Gary said, I bet you'd win more arguments.
Please don't try that with me,
Randall said.
I don't know how much shockingly pale skin I can handle.
Gods, I muttered. How did we even get here?
That's a question I find I ask myself often around you,
Morgan said, patting my arm. And then the announcement horns flourished brightly, and all conversation ceased. Pete poked his head back out into the throne room.
We're about to begin,
he said.
Joshua, Rosemary, if you could follow me, please. I'll show you to your seats.
I can't believe the king got Justin to agree to allow you and Tiggy in the ceremony. I told Gary. I thought for sure he'd nix it. Gary rolled his eyes. I told him it was considered the greatest of fortunes to have a unicorn and a half-giant walk down the aisle together. That it would bring him and his marriage luck and prosperity. I was slightly put out. If that was true, I would have hoped Gary and Tiggy would have instead refused to even show up. Stop pouting, Gary said. I just made that up so you wouldn't have to stand there by yourself looking sad and alone and afraid and sad. And handsome, I said. Let's not push it. Said the talking cotton balls, I muttered under my breath.
What?
He asked sharply. I smiled sweetly at him. Mom and Dad kissed me on the cheek before following Pete through the great doors. We lined up in front of the door, in order of our entrance. Gary and Tiki, then myself, then Morgan, with Randall following up in the rear. Ryan and Justin were being kept in separate rooms on either side of the lobby. Ryan would enter first, followed by the king and Justin. Gary was whispering something to the royal announcer, and I knew that it was probably nothing good. I tried to kick him in the ass, but his tail was so curled, I couldn't seem to find it. Tiki said it looked like he was pooping a snowman. I whispered to Morgan, who covered his mouth to hide the laughter. Randall smacked us both on the back of our heads. The great doors were pushed all the way open. 1,000 people stood as one, and the throne room fell silent.
"Ladies and gentlemen,"
the announcer called, voice echoing off the stone. He was reading from a card.
"Introducing the most fiercest unicorn in existence, Mrs. Kevin the Dragon, a.k.a. Gary."
Gary coughed loudly. The announcer rolled his eyes. Gary coughed again.
"Gary the magnificently beautiful, who is universally adored by all and whom everyone aspires to be because he is so amazing,"
the announcer said, sounding aggrieved. "Oh my gods," I muttered. "Thank you," Gary said quite loudly. He began to walk down the plush red carpet toward the throne.
"Hello, hello, hello, hello,"
he said, bowing his head at those standing on either side of the aisle.
"Hello there. Hi. Oh, girl, that hat is to die for. Work it. Hi. Hello. Salutations. Honey Bunch, you're at least 50, not 20. Cover up just a little bit more. This is a wedding, for fuck's sake. Keep it classy. Hello. Hi. Oh, goodness. Greetings. Oh, my gods. That scarf? Where did you get that scarf? Really? Amidaccio's? The one off Grover Street? You know, I went there once and the service was just terrible. The sales girl was just rude, and I complained and got a 20% discount. Gods, what was her name? Leslie? Cochina? Mai Ling Wong? I don't remember. It's not important. But I just swore I wouldn't go back there after... What? Oh, right. Sorry, sorry, everyone. Sorry. I tend to forget what I'm doing when I'm talking about scarves. It's a sickness, I dare say. Hi. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Hi. Hi. Hello.
He finally reached the throne. Tiggy, I whispered. I swear to the gods, you better get next to Gary as quick as you can and not stop. Do you understand me? No stopping to talk to anyone.
But Gary said...
Tiggy.
Tiggy never gets no fun.
Tiggy grumbled. We'll have fun later, I promised him, though he didn't seem to believe me.
Presenting,
the announcer called, reading from another card.
At 9.5 feet tall, weighing in at 647 pounds, he is revered as a giant of impeccable taste and immaculate grooming. He's... Okay, I'm not going to finish this.
Say it,
Gary shouted. The announcer sighed.
He has captured our hearts, filling us with love and joy, and we are better off because he exists. Ladies and gentlemen, the half-giant, Tiggy!
Tiggy startled everyone by running as fast as he could, not stopping until he stood next to Gary, who looked slightly alarmed. He turned back toward me and said,
"That fast, Sam?"
Everyone looked back at me.
"Yes, Tiggy,"
I said, barely resisting the urge to bury my face in my hands.
"That was fast."
"I fast,"
Tiggy said.
"Sam said fast, and I fast. I don't get fun, but I fast."
Sam wouldn't know what fun meant if it jerked off in his face, Gary said. I groaned, because did he have to say it so everyone could hear? The announcer switched to his next card. "I will literally give you anything if you don't read that," I pleaded with him.
"Can't help you,"
he said, shrugging an apology.
Gary already threatened me with unicorn rage.
That devious bastard, I said, trying not to be impressed. That works on everyone. You know I'm really starting to regret that I can't sweat angry glitter. The announcer shrugged.
Yeah, it can be intimidating. Sorry about this, Sam.
Go ahead, I said, waving my hand at him. There was really nothing else I could do. Gary smiled evilly at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, the announcer called. It is with great honor that I present to you a man loved and treasured for his wit and charity, but maybe not for the way he dresses himself. He looks respectable right now because of Gary. If it weren't for Gary, he would look like a homeless ruffian whom you would think was probably out to steal your wallet. So, thank you, Gary, for the specimen you see before us. We are all in your debt. Sam is currently single, and any and all inquiries for a good roll in the hay can be made attention to Gary and Tiggy. Sam likes magic and long walks in the forest. For some reason, he likes ears that stick out. He also likes... Seriously? Gary, come on. Oh, for the love of... He also likes butts. So please have a nice one. Feel free to attach an etching of your butt so that we may review it for quality. I give you the wizard, Sam of Wilds.
Apprentice, Gary yelled. It says wizard apprentice. Gods. Good help is so hard to find these days.
They just tried to pimp me out, I said, sounding completely odd. Why does that always happen in this room?
Remember,
Randall murmured from behind me,
I get 90% of all your take. Don't make me slap you. You Randall's girl now.
Oh my God, I moaned. Please let this be a nightmare. But it wasn't. And after Morgan shoved me in a not-so-gentle fashion, I walked down the aisle. Tiggy kept waving at me as I approached, and Gary smirked at me, even as I wondered what it would be like to shove my boot up his ass. I was about halfway down the aisle when I spotted someone who I hadn't even expected to be here. She stood next to the aisle, her dress expensive and perfect as always. She cooled herself with her exotic folding fan, the handle clearly inlaid with gold. And she was glaring at me as I approached, even though she technically didn't know me. Well, not this me. Even with all that I'd faced, dragons and darks and cultists and fire geckos, she was still my most mortal of enemies. And today was her victory day. The president of the Ryan Foxhart fan club Castle Locks chapter. Lady Tina Da Silva. My fluttering heart hardened in my chest. I wasn't in control of how this day would end. I was losing the one thing I wanted. But this, I could control this. I curled a nasty smile at her. Then I realized I wasn't dressed as Mervyn, and her eyes widened as I looked positively murderous. And I found I didn't care. I wouldn't be going back to the damn meetings. I was no longer a foxy lady. From here on out, I was a Sam girl for life. I paused briefly when I passed her. She scoffed prettily. I dropped my voice to Mervyn-like levels and murmured,
My muffins were never dry, you abhorrent wench.
I winked at her. Her breath hitched. Her eyes widened. She hissed, Yo. You'll never prove it. I snapped quietly at her and continued on. I felt better. Getting the last word to a 16-year-old girl can do that to you. Do I even want to know why a little teeny bop looks like she wants to eat your flesh? Gary asked when I reached the front. We're enemies, I said. Mortal enemies. Of course you are, kitten. Only you would be mortal enemies with a teenage girl. Don't let her looks fool you. Her countenance hides nothing but evil. I wonder at you sometimes. You're in so much shit, I growled. Worth it.
What are you guys whispering about?
Kevin asked.
Is it secrets? I love secrets.
I looked over my shoulder to see his head shoved through the great door, chin resting on the floor. Tell you later, I said.
You better,
he said.
I wouldn't want to have to spank you, son.
Boo, Gary said. Stop hitting on our baby boy. Everyone was staring again. Not my parents, I said for all to hear. My mom and dad are right there. Mom and dad stood and waved.
We're the parents of his heart,
Kevin said. Shut up, I said. No, you're not. And that doesn't even make sense. Stop making it weird and gross. Don't talk to your father that way, Gary said. You're grounded. Can we please move this along? I asked. Seriously?
He's got this serious face,
Mom called to the announcer.
He's serious.
Morgan and Randall were presented without fanfare. And then I pretty much forgot everything else that existed because Ryan entered the throne room. To say he looked handsome would be an understatement. It wasn't as if I'd never seen him in his full knight gear before. I had. Several times. But maybe it was because today was important, that it was so monumental that it just felt different. Of course, since it was Ryan Foxhart, I wouldn't be surprised if the gods themselves were shining down upon his broad shoulders because everything about him shone. His armor, his shield, the scabbard at his side, his skin, his hair. Seriously, what the fuck? How did he have shiny hair? Everything. And I couldn't take my eyes off of him. But that was okay, because he couldn't take his eyes off of me. Not once did he look away through that long walk down the aisle. Not once did I avert my eyes for any step he took. For a moment, I allowed myself to imagine he was walking toward me, that it was my wedding day and he was shining just for me. It was a good dream. A frivolous dream. I swallowed past the lump in my throat, trying to control my breathing. It almost worked. He reached the throne, mere feet away. He stood, facing me. I was over him. I was done with this. I wanted to beg him to stop this. I wanted to never see him again. I wanted to wake up every morning with him curled around me. And then the king and Justin were announced. The king looked resplendent, his robes accentuating his powerful frame, burgundy and gold, the edges trailing behind him on the floor. He was smiling quietly at his subjects, but there was something else in his eyes that I couldn't quite make out. He moved more stiffly than I'd ever seen him before. Justin, well, Justin, on the other hand, looked regal and amazing as always. Perfect hair. Perfect smile. Perfect everything. Even if he was wearing... Is that bitch wearing white? Gary hissed in my ear. Who does he think he's fooling? There's nothing pure and virginal about him. Even his boots are white. Oh my God. The travesty. The tabloids are going to have a field day with this. Who wore it better, Prince Justin or this homeless hooker? I coughed, trying to cover up the hysterical laughter. I didn't want to draw any more attention to myself than already had been. It wasn't my day, and I knew Justin had the power to make my life a living hell, more so than he'd already done. But Gary was right. Justin was not pulling off the blushing groom he was trying to portray. This was confirmed when I saw Tina practically swoon as he walked by on the king's arm. Since I knew Tina absolutely had no taste whatsoever, I felt remarkably relieved. Ryan, Gary whispered, shouldn't you be looking at your future husband walking down the aisle rather than staring at Sam like an asshole? Ryan flinched and blushed. His eyes darted toward Justin and the king, and he swallowed with an audible click in his throat. That's better, Gary murmured. Wouldn't want you to miss any part of the best day of your life.
Oh, snap,
Tiki said.
Oh, snap indeed,
Randall muttered. Morgan just sighed, and I knew he was regretting all of his life choices. I smiled softly at the king when they reached the throne. Justin ignored me completely, a determined look on his face. He stood near me, facing toward Ryan. Ryan paled slightly as Justin reached out for his hand. He glanced at me again. I kept my face blank. The king turned toward his subjects.
I'll keep this brief, as today isn't about me. Today is about love between two people. Two people who are pledging loyalty and devotion to one another for the rest of their lives. Two people who will one day take my place upon the throne. Knowing they do so in complete honesty and transparency.
Oh, that magnificent bastard.
I remember,
he continued, then stopped, shook his head, cleared his throat. When he spoke again, his voice was rougher.
I remember when I stood in this very room years ago, looking upon my beloved. It was one of the happiest days of my life, knowing that I would get to look at this beautiful person for the rest of her days. And I did. There may have been days when we didn't see one another, days when commitments led us far from home, priorities that required our attention. But there was never a day that my queen was far from my thoughts. She left this world far quicker than I had ever thought possible. But the time we shared together has kept me warm these many years later. For her, I would do it all over again. And that is what love is. Even when you're hurt, even when you're angry, even when you think you can't take another step, love is what keeps you going. If you can love, then you can overcome anything that may rise against you. And it should be love that helps you guide your actions, because it will show you truth. It will show you beauty. It will show you compassion. And these traits, these insights, are the mark of a king. Without it, one can never hope to rule with a firm and kind heart.
He took a breath and looked at Justin.
And so today, I give my son, Grand Prince Justin of Varenya, to Knight Commander Ryan Foxheart, in the hopes that he will have all the moments his mother and I had. You have my blessing.
The king stepped back. Randall stepped forward as the audience took their seats.
Now,
Randall said,
I must ask before we proceed. Prince Justin, are you here of your own volition and peace of mind?
Yes,
Justin said, voice strong and clear.
Knight Commander Foxheart, are you here of your own volition and peace of mind?
Ryan was staring at me over Justin's shoulder. I narrowed my eyes at him and jerked my head toward Randall, trying to get him to pay attention. The audience tittered quietly.
Knight Commander,
Randall said again. Ryan looked startled. He turned his head toward Randall.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Oh my God, Gary muttered. Randall's lips twitched.
Of course. Are you here of your own volition and peace of mind?
Yes.
Is that a question?
Randall asked.
Yes.
It's a question.
No, I'm here.
Of your own volition?
Yes.
And peace of mind?
Ha ha, Ryan said weakly. Yes, my mind is in pieces.
He paled further.
I mean, my peace of mind. It's peaceful.
What the hell?
Good to know,
Randall said.
I'm glad that you're so peaceful.
Justin's shoulders were tense. My hands were clammy.
Now,
Randall said, raising his voice to carry out around the throne room.
We gather here today to join the Prince of Varenya to the Knight Commander, who will one day stand as King Consort. They have both spoken and have agreed they are here of their own volition and peace of mind. Before we begin the ceremony, joining these men in a bond not easily broken, there is a question I must ask.
I knew what was coming. I made sure to glare at my family in quick succession to get my point across. They mostly ignored me. Except for Gary. Gary rolled his eyes at me. What a dick. And then Randall asked his question, and I swore all the world held its breath.
Should anyone here present know of any reason why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony? Speak now, or forever hold your peace.
The room was completely silent. I felt a sad sort of relief as I looked down at my feet. Well, until Randall spoke again.
Anyone at all?
Silence.
Nobody. Nobody here has any objection to this union.
Oh my fucking gods. I was going to murder Randall when this was over.
Not a single person has any.
I object. Holy mother crackers, do I object.
The voice rang out, echoing around the throne room. The audience gasped. Gary choked. Tiggy growled. Morgan sighed. I snapped my head up.
Say again,
Randall asked.
I object.
Knight Commander Ryan Foxhart repeated, looking straight at me.
And why do you object?
The king asked gently.
Because,
Ryan said, eyes darting to the king. He swallowed thickly.
I don't love Justin. My heart belongs to another.
The audience gasped again.
Oh my gods!
Gary snapped at them.
Stop doing that. It's not like that's a surprise or anything. This is already dramatic enough as it is, given that we're at a wedding. Stop adding to it.
I'm sorry, Ryan said, looking at Justin again. I couldn't see the prince's face, but I could see his hands curled into fists at his sides. I never wanted it to come to this. I let it go too far, and it's my fault. I should have put a stop to this long ago. Justin, we can't go through with this. It's not fair. To either of us.
Fair,
Justin repeated.
Fair.
I think I was going into shock. I leaned over and whispered to Gary, what's going on? Gary looked amused. I'm pretty sure Ryan just called off the wedding because he wants to sit on your smile.
Whoa, I breathed. I am so into that.
You made an oath,
Justin said through gritted teeth.
You swore your fealty to me.
I know, Ryan said, and I shouldn't have. I thought I was doing the right thing. I know it's what she would have wanted, but I did it before I knew what I know now. Not that that's an excuse. I shouldn't have let it get this far. For that, I am truly sorry. He took a deep breath. I ask you to release me from my oath.
I won't, Justin said.
The crowd said.
Justin,
the king said with a frown. You don't love me, Ryan said quietly. And I don't love you. Why would you do that to yourself? Justin, there's someone out there for you. Someone who is far better than I could ever be. Someone who will love you as your mother loved your father. That person can't be me. Justin laughed bitterly.
Love. What does it have to be about love? I gave you what you wanted. I gave you a place in the castle. You would become king consort. You would be the force of so much change, hundreds if not thousands of lives. And you're willing to throw that away because of love?
Yes.
Why?
Because, Ryan said, eyes flicking to me.